listener-supported KPFA transitions on Traditions in Your Ears on this Monday night. We just heard from guitarist Calvin Keys. That was music from Calvin's date called Detours into Unconscious Rhythms. And from that, we heard Landing Pad. Calvin Keys and his group are going to be in action this Friday night over at Q's Lounge in Oakland, Jack London Square, and Calvin's going to be celebrating the release of this new CD of his called Vertical Clearance, as well as. I mean, there seem to be quite a few new things going on with you these days, man. Hey, you were just telling me about a DVD project that you have coming up.
Yeah, I just did a DVD HD for the new project that's getting ready to be released probably in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're rushing me. I said, hey, I ain't in no hurry. But that's the handmade portrait.
Right.
So we got to, my lawyer seemed to think it's a visual thing now. So I said, don't tell me, show me.
Okay.
So he did the DVD, and I'm very pleased with it. So hopefully it'll open up some other avenues.
Well, you seem to have actually driven down quite a few avenues. You've got your foot on the funky side of things, and then you are well-versed in the straight-ahead and standard things, and... Do you have one side that you favor more than the other, or is it all just good music for you?
Yes, it's good music, but I put it in terms of a love affair. Because
mm-hmm.
when I'm, you know, playing, that's what I'm doing. I'm making love to the audience because I feel as though that's what I'm doing.
Right.
It's a love affair. This music is one of the most powerful forces on the planet. And wherever it has lit, they have never recovered. If you do the history, you'll see that. And, you know, I'm trying to inspire the youngsters coming up. Like this young man sitting across the room from me here, across the chair, Brother Brewer.
Terrence Brewer.
Yeah, because he's saying a whole lot.
Terrence also announced tonight. Actually, Terrence, we're hearing in the background right now.
It's beautiful.
And we're going to be listening to Terrence and his group in a little bit. But Calvin, as a guitarist, what did you think when you first heard Terrence's CD?
I didn't. I just felt it. I said, hey, this is all right. I said, Blood, he's got it going on. Plus, he's got his own sound.
Right.
That's what's so beautiful about it. See, he's played long enough to have developed his own style, and that's very difficult to do early in your career. Like I said, I've been doing this 50 years. But when you hear Calvin Keys, you know who he is. Like I said, I heard Terrence, and I know who he is. Because he has his own style, and it's beautiful. And it don't sound like nobody else but him. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
So that means he's put his time in. He's done some homework.
That's love right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Well, yeah, it comes through in the playing, Terrence.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you sound like more than someone who has just picked up a guitar, has just decided to play guitar. It does sound like you've put in time, not just learning the notes and learning a technique, but also learning, you know, the history of your instrument and, you know, what's to come out of it.
I've definitely tried, that's for sure. I'm a firm believer in you learn the rules and then you forget them. And you just go out there and play and have fun and make music and do what you love to do. And the end result is now that people are sort of stamping me and saying that I have my own thing going on. And I just know that I love to do it. So I'm out there enjoying myself.
Beautiful. That's what you're supposed to do, Terrence. Keep doing it by any means necessary.
Yes, well, it was a big surprise for me sometime last week. I'm flipping through my newspaper, and I see this big smiling face, and I go, wow, I know him. And it was you, Terrence Brewer. Tell us about that. You know, you're starting to get some attention from the CD or the CDs,
yeah.
The Calling Volume 1 and 2. You're starting to get some attention from the appearances that you're making. How is all
sure.
of this being received right now?
It's being received really well. And, you know, I always tell people it's an interesting combination. A lot of hard work, and then you get lucky. You know, we work really hard. My wife and I work really hard at getting my name out there and making sure that the press is aware of who I am and getting copies of the music and staying on top of them. And I think my story is interesting. I think my music is interesting. And I'd love for other people to get a hold of it. And so we stay on top of them to make sure that they're, you know, pursuing our story. And eventually some things come through and actually happen for us. So we work really hard at making it known that I'm here. And I'd love to play and love to perform. And we get lucky. And they do some beautiful write-ups on me lately. So
Well, the CD that was getting a lot of play recently has been The Calling Volume 1, which
Correct.
Features you with piano, bass, mm-hmm. and drums.
Correct.
The Calling Volume 2 features you along with organ, saxophone, and drums. And in a little bit, we're going to hear some of the organ trio.
Yeah.
But for you, where do you feel the difference? What is it that made you decide to do one recording different than the other?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest, for me, I first and foremost, I relate to the composers. So, you know, I have all these compositions, and both albums are all original. And for me, I think that's where one of my strength lies is in the composition. So when I went to do both albums, the concepts were completely different. The Hammond B3 organ with the tenor player, you know, just felt a little funkier to me, a little bluesier to me. It was definitely, I wanted it to be sort of a tribute to Wes and Grant Green and all those kind of guys who, you know, and all those guys who did all that great work with organ trios. And it was different, completely different concept for me. So, you know, it was working two completely different projects. The only real similarity was me in the middle as the guitarist and composer of all the tunes, but the ideology was completely different for both of them. So
when you're writing, or when you were writing for each of these, were you writing these songs specifically for these type of musical settings?
Well, not really. Well, yes and no. I had a pool of compositions that I pulled from, probably a good 90 compositions, and I started to put them into order of ones that I liked. And you know, this song will sound good with the quartet, this song I think would work with the quintet, this song's a little edgier to work with this style group, and came down to it, and I had two stacks of compositions staring back at me, and one of them I thought, man, this would work really well with an organ trio, you know, plus tenor sax on a couple tunes. And those tunes just lended themselves to be, you know, more of that school of thought and performance. And the Calling Volume 1 album was more of a, you know, in my mind, was more of a, you know, an outlet for my tunes I thought that were sort of Herbie Hancock and Lee Morgan and, you know, Wayne Shorter inspired. So it was more of that kind of a bag on the first album, and then something different for the second one. So, And then too, when you get a player like Will, you know, Will Blades is on the album. He's here with me tonight to play in the studio. When you get a player like that, I mean, he's just got such soul and such groove. You know, it really lends to what you do and takes the compositions to a whole nother level.
Well, tell us about who you have with you tonight.
Yeah, tonight I have Will Blades on Hammond B3 organ, and the drummer is Micah McLean. He actually plays on the Volume 1 album.
Right.
On the record, Derek Phillips plays drums on the Volume 2 album with Will and myself. Derek is back in New Jersey, and so Micah's here, and he's been doing a lot of the shows here in the Bay Area with me. And as I said, he's on the first album, and he's been doing a lot of the live performances playing the Volume 2 music. So.
Well,
beautiful man, Will's. Yeah, I played with him. He's incredible.
You know, Calvin, you played with some organ masters in your career: Jimmy Smith, Jimmy McGriff. You know, the Captain Jack McDuff.
Right on.
For both of you? What is it about that organ guitar combination that just ignites people?
Well, when I started, Jimmy just had hit the scene, and you know, we've never recovered. You know, and I seen Grant Green in New York. I was working with Jackie Ivory, and I think Larry Young was with him, and Clifford Jarvis, and Clifford wasn't using the sock symbol, so I was totally confused, because I could hear this rhythm thing going on. I said, "Why you don't have no sock symbol doing chop chop?" He was playing Free Time. I said, "Ooh, my goodness." Took me a couple of days to figure it out. But the organ was, when I came up, was part of that chitlin circuit, I guess that's what they call it. And that was part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was three pieces. Wasn't no whole lot of expenses. You know, I was traveling with Frank Edwards, who was out of Kansas City, and making $150 a week in 1960. That was a lot of money for three cards. G, C, and D. But, you know, he was a beautiful cat, and he played saxophone in the Army Band, and he knew a lot of tunes, so he's the one that hit me to Bird and, I guess, Count Basie, Duke, in the music, you know. So that was part of it. But then getting back to his one record, you did it with the quartet, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I was, my thing was trying to get rid of the organ after so many years. I wanted the rhythm section.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know that I would end up getting a call from Ahmad Jamal, and you talking about a rhythm section. I mean, if you have to look at it from that perspective.
Right, that's a geez, rhythm master.
I'm still trying to catch up. But, you know, it's just part of the way things were done with this music in our community,
right.
You know. So, you know, I didn't have any idea I would be making no living playing the guitar. I said, you got to be crazy, if, you know. But, hey, like I said, creator has a plan for us all, you know.
And for me, it was, you know, my exposure to the organ growing up was in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, every Sunday, you know, organ player, you know, pumping out that left-hand bass and doing a thing. And that was my earliest exposure to organ. And I heard it week in and week out. And then when I became a, you know, teenager and really got into jazz and you know, into my early 20s, you know, it came from records,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all these great, you know, Larry Young and all these great records, you know, Jack McDuff mm-hmm. and all this. And so it was actually fairly recently that I was able to really play with organ players in a live setting, because mm-hmm. not a whole lot of cats are doing it right now. So, and it's not completely feasible for a lot of guys to haul around organs in their cars and vans. There's not a lot of cats doing it. So it was actually fairly recent that I got to really work with a, you know, good organ player in a live setting, in a jazz setting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was, you know, all, you know, spiritual and gospel and all that. I mean, the, you know, the jazz and the roots are there, and I heard that stuff on record. But man, playing with Will and getting to hear that, there's nothing like it. The
really?
Feeling and the sound, it's just, it is absolutely a one of a kind. There's nothing like being next to a live Hammond B3 with a Leslie going.
With a Leslie going,
really? You know, if that doesn't bring a smile to your face, I don't know what will. So,
you know, I got a chance to play with Trudy Pitts.
Mm.
I'd been hearing about her for years, but she never came out on the coast. We did a tribute to Shirley Scott a few years back and did a simultaneous broadcast live to her house. And I got a chance to play with Trudy Pitts. And my goodness, she went from Duke to Jimmy to Count Basie and back. And I mean, it was like, it was a history lesson. And I don't know if anybody was even aware, but to me, that's what it was.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, you know, certain things you can't even explain. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? It just, mm-hmm. She's incredible.
Well, one thing that we can tell from hearing all the different tones and textures in your recording, each of your recordings, Calvin, is that even though you've been in this music for quite a few years, you still take on the role as student, and
yes.
you still show us what new things you're learning.
Hey man, it's infinity, it's forever. You know, I mean, I'm getting ready to go into a whole nother thing, man. I guess I don't know what it is. It's like starting all over again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like a little kid again with this guitar in my hand. So hey, and it's a good feeling. So I know exactly how Terrence is feeling, man. I know, you know, because I've been there and I'm there again. But like I said, it comes and goes, you know, it comes in sections. But remember one thing, is room at the top. Ain't no room at the bottom.
Calvin Keys, my guest tonight on KPFA, along with Terrence Brewer, two outstanding guitarists. You can catch Calvin in action this Friday night over at Q's Lounge in Oakland's Jack London Square, right at Everett and Jones Barbecue. You can also enjoy Calvin's newest CD called Vertical Clearance. And Terrence Brewer, you can catch him over at Q's Lounge in September, September 15th. In just a few moments, you can catch him live right here on KPFA. We're going to keep listening to what we've got in the background, music from Terrence's date called The Calling, Volume 2. This is Baby Cakes, as Terrence and his group get ready to take us on a musical journey at member-supported KPFA.
Thank you.